It was really informative and a blessing and nostalgic, amen, to have our founding pastor back. And it was a lot of fun to have them in town, fellowshipping with them. And I know that God really did a work in encouraging us through his word. And I got a bit of a break. I haven't preached in a little while, it feels like. Back in the saddle this morning. And 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse number 6. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful for your word this morning that is a light to our path. It guides us. It directs us. It warns us. Lord, we need to take heed of these stern and important warnings of false teachers, false Christs, false spirits in our world even today. Lord, help us to be vigilant as a church, individually as Christians. I think of parents raising children, that we would take this word to heart, apply it to our lives. Father, would you lead us by your spirit? Lord, discernment comes from you. It doesn't come from our intellect. It doesn't come from our abilities. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you've promised us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Lord, we claim that even this morning, that you will continually bless us and lead us and empower us to serve you. Would you have your way throughout this meeting? Convict us, encourage us, and glorify your name in our midst. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. My sermon this morning is "Believe Not Every Spirit." Believe not every spirit. This is the reality of false prophets and the need to test the spirits. Try the spirits, the Bible says. And this is a call for discernment. Discernment oftentimes is choosing between good and evil, and sometimes it even is between choosing what's good and what's best. And as I was praying, the Holy Spirit really is the one that leads us and gives us that discernment. And so to have discernment, you need to be walking with God. You need to be walking in His Word. That's how you get discernment. It's like a muscle that you have to exercise, and if you don't use it, it will atrophy. And many Christians, they just kind of check their brain at the door when it comes to spiritual things, and they just accept any and everything, and that's not right. So it's a call for spiritual discernment, and it's a call to, can I just put it bluntly, not be stupid as Christians. Don't be so gullible as a Christian. It's amazing to me how many Christians have their head in the sand and aren't paying attention to what's happening in our world, and they're blindly accepting any and everything that comes down the pike, that even says Jesus, sprinkle a little Jesus on top and it's okay. The Bible says to try the spirits. So don't be so gullible. Don't be so easily deceived. You know, perhaps you're familiar with the children's folktale, Little Red Riding Hood. Any of you had to read that? That's really popular in our toddler home these days. And in that story, the main protagonist is Little Red Riding Hood. And the antagonist is the big bad wolf, right? And in that story, to make a long story short, Little Red Riding Hood arrives at grandmother's house. That's where she's been trying to go all this time. And she arrives at grandmother's house and she sees her grandmother dressed, but is kind of confused. And she says this, "Grandmother, what big ears you have." And the grandmother said, "The better to hear you, my dear." That was really the wolf. "But grandmother, what big eyes you have," said Little Red Riding Hood. "The better to see you, my dear," replied the wolf. "But grandmother, what big teeth you have." As Little Red Riding Hood quivered slightly, "The better to eat you, my dear." And the wolf jumped out and tried to chase her and get her, right? You know, some Christians are kind of gullible like that. And the Bible says that there are wolves in sheep's clothing, that they may look the part, dress the part, they're smooth. And they say things, they sprinkle in some things that are good and true. You know, rat poison is 98% common chemicals that you find in everything, materials that's healthy, fine for you, but 2% of it is poison. And it's that 2% that will kill you. And so error is not just 100%, 100%. There's a lot of truth mixed in with error. And some Christians are easily deceived and easily bought in to what a wolf is trying to teach them and deceive them with. And so John says, try the spirits. Believe not every spirit. You didn't think you'd get read a fairy tale this morning, but had to use that as an illustration. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 is not introducing a new subject. The chapter and verse divisions were added later. We talk about that. It's connecting the thoughts that were mentioned over in chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 24. It says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." And get this, "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit," capital S, "which he hath given us." That's the Holy Spirit. If you're saved this morning, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have to wonder, do I have the Spirit or not? No, the question is, does he have you? Question is, are you surrendering your all to the Spirit? Or are you holding back and being selfish and carnal? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit, but you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so now John continues in verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, "Believe not every spirit," lowercase, "but try the spirits," plural, "whether they are of God." So clearly John is talking about the spiritual realm. He's leaving the physical realm. He's talking about the spiritual realm. There's the Spirit of God. There's the Spirit of Antichrist. There's the Spirit of truth. And there's the Spirit of error. In our world today, there are all types of voices and thought leaders and movements and isms. And I want to just have you mark this down. Behind every single one of them, there is a spirit. Is it the Spirit of God? Is it the Spirit of truth? I have to ask myself this question. Or is it the Spirit of error and the Spirit of Antichrist? By the way, Antichrist doesn't necessarily have to mean against Christ. It could just be a false Christ, a substitute Christ, a Christ of our own making that's not the Christ of the Bible. We have to discern these spirits in our world today. And so the subject here is the spirit world. And John warned against believing every spirit. John warned against this, and that means we are to test the spiritual experiences that we think, well, is this of God or not? We have to ask ourselves. Not every spiritual experience is from God. You know, the devil has a measure of power. The devil is able to turn himself into a minister of light. And he has ministers that he sends out too. Yeah, the devil has churches. You better believe it. He has churches. He has missionaries. He has preachers. He has evangelists. You better believe it. He has schools. Yeah, the devil's very active in spiritual circles. And I talk to some people, especially my generation, that make these really foolish statements that, you know, I don't really believe in the Bible. I'm just a spiritual person. I just want to be spiritual. And I got to ask them, what spirit? If it's not from the Bible, then it's coming from somewhere else. What spirit are you embracing? I just want to be spiritual. And so that's why some of them go to horoscopes and tarot card readings and it's like, you know, all this stuff. And then next, you know, they're dealing with a spirit they never bargained for. But there is an unseen spirit world, and we need to test our spiritual experiences to see if they are, in fact, from God. Some people are foolish. I hear some people say, I go to all types of churches. I go wherever I'm invited. I go to Lutheran church, Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist. I'll go to Muslim. I'll go anywhere. I've met people like that. And they say that, I guess, to sound like they're enlightened. But to me, I don't think they're very enlightened. I think they're very foolish and unwise, especially when they have children. And they just hop around and bring them along. And they add on all this mess into a child's mind and heart. What spirit are they being influenced by? I'm not out to preach and teach that we're the only church doing something for God. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying we need some discernment and wisdom that not everything is of God. Even when I preach, you ought to go home and say, let me just test this by the word of God. Don't just take, the pastor said it. That's good enough for me. But you ought to say, did God say it? Is this God's word? Is it thus saith the Lord? Or is it the spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist? We want to test the spirits. COVID-19, everybody's watching church from home. Everybody's live streaming. And praise God for that. The gospel's going out all over the airwaves. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And everybody in a church on a live stream is preaching the truth. Be wary of the preachers you're allowing to influence you. Be wary of the books that you purchase at a so-called Christian bookstore. If you go in the popular bookstores and you look at the Christian section, 90% of it is New Age stuff. It's not even Bible. It's power of positive thinking garbage. It's humanism, how to be happy, how to make a lot of money. Nothing about taking up your cross and following Christ. Nothing about prayer and surrendering. Nothing about missions and reaching the lost. That doesn't sell in Christian bookstores. So we got to try the spirits, don't we? We have to be discerning Christians. Not everyone that says Jesus, Jesus is someone that I'm just going to go blindly follow. Look at what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul said, I marvel. Galatians 1 verse 6. I'm surprised. I'm shocked. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Those are strong words. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. It's so strong he had to say it two times for emphasis. You know what? If we take this verse to heart, that means even friends and sometimes even family, we have to be very careful. You say, but that's my aunt and she likes to go and do this and preach and say this. And I'm not saying go be unkind to your auntie. You better still go over there and love her and eat that chicken dinner. But that doesn't mean you have to receive every spiritual message that person is preaching and saying. Sometimes it's not easy, is it? But that's the calling. Believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. There are people out there that are preaching a false Christ, a false gospel, and we need to have discernment. And it's amazing to me what Christians will allow to have influence over their mind, have influence over their emotions, over their home, over their children. They allow any and every influence to come into their lives. Believe not every spirit. That's my first point this morning. Number one, John says, believe not every spirit. In 1 John chapter 3, if you go to verse 23, 1 John 3, verse 23, the Bible says this, and this is his commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So the emphasis is on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he tells us that we ought to believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. In other words, some people have this notion that faith in and of itself is always good. No, it's not about faith. Faith is about the object of your faith. What are you believing? We need to make sure we're believing in the Jesus of the Bible. Faith is all about the object. Sometimes faith can be very dangerous. Again, there are some people that they put their faith in Allah or Buddha or other false gods out there. Some people put their faith in Mary or in some church institution. Listen, we are to put our faith in Christ. We are to put our faith in God. And so faith is about the object of our faith. And some people mistakenly believe that any and everyone that claims Jesus is of God. Not so. Not necessarily true. Almost everything connected with God and truth, the devil has a counterpart for. I want you to make note of that. Almost everything that relates to God and the truth has its counterpart in error and in Satanism. You think about this. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. During a tribulation period, there's going to be the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil, almost a false trinity we often talk about. The devil always tries to have some kind of counterpart to what God is doing. And so we have to be very wary as Christians. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. There's a couple of things we have to be on guard for. First, seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." By the way, notice the faith. That's the historic faith of Christianity, the gospel. The gospel is preached by Christ and the apostles, the foundation of the church. They're departing from that, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want you to notice seducing spirits means they're very enticing. They are very believable. In other words, the temptation is to believe them and follow them, but they're wrong. They're in error. Notice what he says, speaking lies and hypocrisy. They're hypocrites. They preach one thing and live a completely opposite way, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You ever wonder, how could someone get up and preach this error? They have their conscience seared. They don't even care anymore. They're just in it for the money, maybe, or the fame, these false preachers. And notice just a few examples of false teaching. Look at verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Well, there's some pretty prominent religions that do that in our area, isn't there? And the Bible is very clear. It's a seducing spirit. It's a doctrine of devils. That's God's word. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we have a problem of seducing spirits. We also have another problem of itching ears. It's not just false teachers. It's the listeners, too, that sometimes have issues. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. It says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." Paul is teaching Timothy this. "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." We can't get away from doctrine. We need to be tethered to the true and faithful doctrines of the Word of God. There's a movement today that wants to water down doctrine, that wants to be ambiguous and just kind of, well, we don't know what we believe. And you don't have to believe like we believe. And you just come on in and come as you are, leave as you were, and just be a big question mark about our faith. And can I tell you something? That's not how we're called to live as Christians. When you walk in this church, you ought to know that there's a few things that we believe that we take seriously around here. We preach Bible doctrine around here. In our church, that we take the time to instruct people line upon line, precept upon precept, because that's the calling. That's the job. And so he says to preach, but then look at verse 3. You're going to be really popular. Everyone's going to love you. No, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Look at that. The listeners say, "I don't want to hear that doctrine. I don't want to hear that strong preaching against sin and wickedness and worldliness. I don't want to hear that. I want something more easy on the palate. I don't want to hear something that's so critical of the way I live and pointing out my faults. And I don't want to hear that. I want something a little more easy on the ears." And you can find plenty of preachers that will do that. You can find all up and down Elmont Road and Hook Creek and Linden Boulevard. You can find all up and down these roads. You can find preachers that will accommodate that. There will always be some preacher that will accommodate you. But you ought not be seeking accommodation, should you? This idea of having itching ears syndrome, it is a syndrome. We have to ask the Lord to remove that from our hearts. "Lord, if it's truth, I need it. Even if it's an uncomfortable truth, an offensive truth, Lord, I need it in my life." The convicting power of the Holy Spirit is a good thing. to help me, to prune me, to purge me. But people just get upset. Oh, preaching all this and I'm just going to leave and find some other accommodating preacher. You'll find that. They're all over the place. So the calling here is believe not every spirit. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for the act. Don't fall for the charade. There are all types of great preachers out there. But what are they preaching? Can I just tell you something? Adolf Hitler was a tremendous preacher. If you study not what he was teaching, but how he taught, he was an extraordinary orator and speaker. He moved millions of people to do what he wanted to do. They were willing to die for him, to kill for him. He was a tremendous preacher. What he preached was poison. By the way, he claimed to be a believer, a Christian. I don't believe that for one second. Again, not everyone that professes Christ is really in Christ. There's all types of influences and voices. Karl Marx, even still to this day, has a great stronghold on many people in their mindset. He was a tremendous preacher. His values and teachings are still being promoted today. But I'm telling you, what he preached and what he taught is poison. Communism and socialism and taking God out of our picture, out of our lives. It's poison for any society to live according to the teachings of Karl Marx. But yet what we have happening in our world today, we have people embracing this woke movement. You know what I'm talking about? This woke movement. And you know, I've had these woke people, by the way, in my life. I've known people that are woke and they used to be kind of here in this box and you're just kind of, all right, you're just crazy what you're saying. Now they're mainstream. Now this is what everyone has to believe. And what this woke movement, this critical race theory teaches, let's try to unite everyone by dividing everyone. Let's put everybody in these subcategories that really aren't all that important. You're white, you're in this box. You're black, you're in this box. And you're all these boxes that you have to be put into. Like, wait a minute. I don't fit your box. I don't fit your box. I'm not going to be pushed into your mold. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I'm a child of God. I'm not going to be put into your box. But these woke people want to push this in our schools, by the way. It's been around for decades, by the way. All the secular universities have been teaching this in psychology, philosophy, and now it's being, now you hear about it in the news, but it's been around for decades, this critical race theory, woke stuff. Can I just tell you unequivocally, it is poison. It's absolute poison. It takes what God teaches, that we're all united in Christ, that at the foot of the cross we're all level. It flips that on its head, creates these false divisions, and it's all about materialism and power. It's all about how can we grab more power. That's all it's about. It's not about real equality. It's a power grab. And so we have this that's in our secular world, but I'm preaching on it this morning because it's even creeping into our churches. God help us that it's being preached in our churches today. Someone came to me and told me that in their church there was some weird service and a white person got up and apologized and repented for being white. I have a word for that. Foolishness! Foolishness! That's what we're repenting of in America? Out of all the list of sins that we have to grieve and repenting for being a white person. In a church, in a service where people are repenting and confessing their faults. That's what's happening in our churches today. And people are not being discerning. And so here's what's happening. You have these movements today. The modern social justice movement. It sounds wonderful. Let's help everybody be united. Black Lives Matter. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm going to get canceled. That's okay with me. Listen, Black Lives Matter, that slogan, of course, everyone believes Black Lives Matter. Of course, everybody's going to buy that slogan. But the organization, the teachings, it's poison. It's poisonous to teach people that we have to be divided in such a way. You're black, you're this way. You're white, you're this way. We got to all fight for power here. It's wickedness. And the idea, and you search out the organization in their mission statement, their stated goal is to dismantle the family. They want to dismantle the idea of a mother and a father. By the way, female and male, they hate that. They want to get rid of that idea that two parents can raise children, especially in a godly church. They hate that. You study out the founders, they're lesbian communists that are trained in Marxism. That's It's a Trojan horse, in other words. It's a disguise for unity, but to really disrupt and dismantle what's happening. And so here's why I'm preaching this morning. I see so many Christians, maybe out of ignorance or maybe willfully, just embracing, diving full steam ahead. Yes, Marxism. Yes, all these isms and groups. And yes, social justice. And there's some truth in there. There's some good things in there. But man, at the root of it, it's poisonous. And we're going to reap what we sow because of it. Churches that are getting involved in all these wicked movements, we're going to reap what we sow. We've set aside the true gospel for just grabbing power, a desire for more wealth and money and all this stuff. And it's not really about equality. It's about power and money is what it's about. And we are called to believe not every spirit and try the spirits. People are pushing humanism. That's all everything. That's all it is. It's humanism. And it's even in our churches. Humanistic philosophies that are opposed to God, or there are humanistic groups that want to use God as just a trope to push their political agenda. They don't really love God. They just want to use God to push their political agenda. That's wickedness too. You know, I saw the other day at Christian Cultural Center, Governor Hochul was invited to speak. And in that message that I don't know what they were thinking there, A.R. Bernard invited her to speak. And she literally invoked the name of God to say, if you are vaccinated, you are of God. If you're unvaccinated, you're not following God. That's what's being preached in a church service. And she tried to divide people. And she said, I want to send you out to be my apostles to get more people vaccinated. Listen, I have no problem if you're vaccinated or if you're unvaccinated. I believe in medicine. I'm thankful that people can use these things and be helped by them. Hey, whatever the Lord leads you to do for your family, praise the Lord for that. But that's not something you preach in church. And can I tell Governor Hochul something? That's not something that you just decide to, I'm going to use God for this agenda. But what about issues like abortion? Do you evoke God for that too? No, we only want to use God when it's in our interest, perhaps, and we push our agenda. We invite these people to our churches, and it's wickedness. But, you know, these are the churches that are the mega churches. These are the ones that have thousands of members. Oh, look how many people are there. Oh, look how many kids are there. Look how much money they have. Look at their big buildings. I know. Yeah, I know. Believe not every spirit. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. Don't be fooled. Don't be bamboozled by these wicked spirits in our world today. The mega churches today are pushing a false gospel of the power of positive thinking. It's all New Age mixed into the true gospel. Purpose driven, seeker friendly models that the gospel, the doctrine of God takes a back seat to the feelings of sinful people. What do sinners like? Let's cater to sinners. And so we water down our doctrine and let's try to blend in with the world as much as possible. You see, this sounds nice because don't you want to reach people, Pastor? Don't you want to reach more people? Yes, I want to reach more people, but God's work must be done God's way. And my goal is not just getting butts in the seat, excuse me. My goal is to glorify God. I'm sorry, that might even purge some people away, but that's okay because my goal is to glorify God. And if Christ be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. It's not my job to draw men to myself. I want to point people to Jesus Christ. But what we have happening today is the humanistic spirit of it's big business. Let's get everybody in here, no matter what it takes. And so we water down our doctrine. We become this ambiguous, well, non-denominational. We don't believe anything. You can just come as you are, leave as you were. And that's not New Testament Christianity. Listen, we need to stand by the fundamental doctrines of our faith. We need to take God's word seriously and live it out seriously now more than ever in our world today. I want to leave you with the last warning here on this point. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 7. We looked at some of these scriptures during the prophecy conference, and I like how Pastor Barker explained that sometimes we think of prophecy like we're living in this age and then boom, it's just going to be changed when the tribulation comes. No, my friends, there's a gradual decline. Things are waxing worse and worse and worse. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. The Bible says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now that's Old English. Letteth here is the idea of hindering. And it's talking about the Holy Spirit who's doing a work right now and actually restraining, hindering evil. You know, as bad as things are, they could be a lot worse. They will be a lot worse during the tribulation period. But one day the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the way. Verse 7, why? Because of the rapture. Because the church is going to be taken out of the way. The rapture is going to take place. But look at verse 8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan." So it's not Satan, talking about the Antichrist, "with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." When people reject the truth, and they want itching ears, they want all this wicked humanism, God's going to say, "Okay, here it is. Here it is. No holds barred. Here you can have at it." And God's going to send them eventually in judgment a strong delusion. As Christians, we need to have discernment. Believe not every spirit, but then secondly, try the spirits. Test spiritual experiences. Discernment for spiritual experiences. The Bible says, "Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." That's what Jesus preached in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many." Verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So we need spiritual discernment. Okay, how do we get spiritual discernment? Well, we already kind of touched upon this. Thank God we are not just meandering about in darkness, hoping we bump into the truth. We have the truth within us. We have the Holy Spirit. Try the spirits by the true spirit, the Holy Spirit. He will use his word. He will guide us and direct us and lead us into all truth. The word of God tells us this. So how do we test the spirits and test false teachers? That means I have to know the Bible. That means I have to be a student of the Bible. That might mean I have to get up an hour earlier for church and come to Sunday school because I want to learn the Word of God. That might mean I have to ask good questions and bug the preacher even and ask questions. And I want to learn the Bible. And by the way, it's not bugging me. I love to talk about the Bible. I love to talk about theology. I love when people come to me and ask questions. And I love to tell them, "I don't have the answer, but let's find out what God says." Amen. But all of us have to be Bereans. Bereans, the Bible says, they searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. They didn't just take the Apostle Paul's word for it. They studied it for themselves. And all of us, if you're saved, you need to study the Bible. Have a regular Bible reading program. Spend some time in Bible reading with your family, with your children, your parents, with your spouse. But then also have some personal Bible study time. Hey, maybe some days you can do more than others, but have a plan where you're systematically reading through books of the Bible. And you're learning key doctrines. There's some tremendous helps and commentaries and dictionaries and things that you can use to learn the Bible. You can master the Bible. Sometimes people look at the Bible and it's this huge, massive book, and it's like it's almost intimidating. And it's so intimidating, we're defeated before we even start. And we're just like, "I could never conquer this, so I'll never even try." That's wrong. No, God has given us a love letter. He's written to us everything that he wants us to know about who he is and who we are. Don't shortchange yourself. Start reading the Bible. Maybe you've never read the Bible before. Maybe you can start. Just read one chapter this afternoon. Maybe just 10 verses. Start somewhere. Maybe you've never read the entire Bible. Maybe you've read a few Psalms. You've read a few New Testament letters. Maybe reading every book of the Bible, you've never done that. You can start now. You don't got to wait for January 1st to make this big New Year's resolution that you don't keep anyway. Start now. Start fresh and say, Lord, I want to master your word. Because this is a big deal. If I'm going to have discernment and try the spirits, it starts by knowing the word of God. It's a huge deal. That means my children have to know the word of God. That means as parents, I always point my children not to me as the authority, but God's word as the authority. Because one day I'm not going to be there for my children. And they have to learn discernment for themselves. And thank the Lord, they can find that through God, through the Holy Spirit. And so we use His word, we use the Holy Spirit, and we can see through false teachers, no matter how smooth they talk or how educated they are. But the Bible gives us an interesting statement here in 1 John chapter 4. I want us to see it. 1 John chapter 4, and look at verse number 2 says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist." Now, this is not the only test, but it is a primary test of false teachers. What do they say about Jesus? This is what differentiates the cults. What do they say about Jesus? You know, the Mormons, they portray themselves as just another type of Christianity. But they believe in a false Jesus. Their Jesus is a created being that's the brother of Lucifer. That's not in the Bible. That's unscriptural. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. A false Christ, another gospel. Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny the deity of Christ. Again, he's a created being. He's not God. He is a God. That's a false gospel. Liberal Christianity. It takes the Bible, and I don't know why they even claim to still be Christians. They just tear it to shreds. Well, he really wasn't born of a virgin. He really didn't die for sins. At what point is that even Jesus? It's just some guru, some teacher, some political leader, I guess. That's who they want Jesus to be. And so, liberal Christianity, I'm dismissing it, but it's the most popular form of Christianity in America today. It's a huge part of Christianity today in America. You might have heard of newly elected U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock. By the way, he calls himself a reverend. He's a pastor of a historic Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia. Last Easter Sunday, he tweeted this, and he quickly deleted it after there was a big uprising, but he tweeted this. "The meaning of Easter is more transcendent than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether you are a Christian or not, through a commitment to helping others, we are able to save ourselves." If I could summarize liberal Christianity, that statement right there is the exact, that is liberal Christianity. That's the popular form of Protestant Christianity today. Easter is not about, it's not just about the resurrection. That's a side issue. It's about working together to save ourselves. Humanism, wickedness, the spirit of Antichrist. It's replacing Christ. It's saying we don't need the resurrection of Christ. We have something we can do for ourselves. That's the state of Christianity in America. By the way, I'm not reading these quotes to point and say I'm better than so. I'm grieving when I read this. It pains my heart that these are the big churches that people are flocking to. When people think of Christianity, these are the people they think, that guy, hey, that's the thought leader. That grieves me. It means we're not getting the job done. It means we're failing. I'm failing in spreading the true gospel. God help us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. A mark of a true spirit is one that emphasizes the true Jesus, who was born of a virgin, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. It was a bodily death, burial, and a bodily resurrection. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." We can't save ourselves. Social justice and social gospel doesn't work. It's limited. It's finite in its scope. We need a Savior. It's Jesus Christ. He says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And you read through, that's the emphasis here. The death, burial, resurrection of Christ. That's what can take a sinful heart and completely forgive him, wash him, and make him clean. I know that because that's what he did for me, amen? And I know he's done it for you if you're saved this morning. It's the power of the gospel that can change sinful man. Go with me to verse 12. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not dead. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And so the centerpiece, the cornerstone of our faith, is this bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he paid for our sins on the cross. And that's the only way we can be forgiven and redeemed. And so that's why Jesus asked the Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? And that's the test to see who the false teachers are. You see, in the Apostle John's day, I mentioned this before, the group called the Gnostics, they denied the physical reality of Jesus Christ. They denied that Jesus Christ actually came in the flesh. They had this weird view of a duality of Jesus, that there was a spiritual version and maybe a physical version, and they really didn't like the physical version. Those Gnostics were very, very popular in John's day. That's why he's writing this. We have similar problems today. By the way, the Gnostics, their capital, their center for learning was Alexandria. And when you study the modern translations that are based on wrong Greek manuscripts, they all go back to that Alexandrian line of manuscripts. And you look at modern versions like the NIV that take away from the deity of Christ, that take away from the fact that he was manifest, God was manifest in the flesh. It's not by accident. Listen, the devil is very slick. He's very smart, and we have to be discerning as Christians. Gnostics denied the reality of who Jesus really was. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, Theos, was manifest in the flesh. Many of the modern versions don't go by Theos. They go by the Alexandrian line, and they put he was manifest in the flesh, or he had a body. And little by little, they chip away at this important doctrine of who Jesus was. John is saying it's a big deal that we understand the true confession of faith in the true Jesus of the Bible. It's a big deal. But then thirdly and quickly, the protection of the child of God. The devil is real. The devil is at work. But I don't want you to leave here this morning in bondage to fear or in despair. There's a greater reality. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The protection of the child of God. You see, these false teachers and false spirits are very popular. John tells us the world likes to listen to them. They have a mass appeal. And so we shouldn't be surprised that they're popular because they're worldly. The world likes them. John says it's the spirit of Antichrist. It's opposed to Christ. It substitutes Christ. But take heart. He encourages us in verse 6. He says, they are of the world, but verse 6, we are of God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Again, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is inside of every genuine believer. And that's why, if you go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, we can claim these incredible promises. 1 John 2:20 says, "But ye have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Literally talking about knowing the truth. Look at verse 27. 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." In John chapter 16, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." There's a great contrast between truth and error. And the devil's job is to blur that line and to try to make it ambiguous. But we need discernment. We've got to draw some lines in the sand. That's why in our church we separate from false teaching. We don't get in league with other churches or ministries that have false doctrines. We're trying to preserve the purity of our faith, the purity of our preaching of the Word of God. We don't believe every spirit. We try the spirits. You ought to do that for your home, individually, personally, for your children. Don't fall for it. Don't be gullible. Paul said in Colossians 2, verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Be on guard. Be vigilant. There is a conflict between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. True teaching and false teaching. The true Jesus and a false Jesus. And by the way, everything we read here, it's not about intellect. It's not about education. It's about following the Holy Spirit. It's not about which Bible seminary degree you have. It's not about how long you've been saved. It's about, are you following the Holy Spirit? That's the key for living the Christian life. And so we keep in the spirit of truth as we cling to Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you lead us and you guide us. Lord, sometimes we are stubborn. Sometimes we are easily deceived as we yield to our flesh, as we lean upon our own understanding. Lord, we pray that you would give us spiritual discernment. Lord, in a day and age that we're filled with darkness all around us, spiritual wickedness, Lord, so much false teaching, Lord, it can be discouraging. But Lord, you promised us protection as your people, that if we follow your spirit, you will lead us and guide us. We have an anointing and an unction by the Holy Spirit. Lord, you tell us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We claim all of that this morning. Lord, we pray that you would give us discernment, wisdom, direction. We pray for our church. We pray for the next generation. Protect us from false doctrine, from wicked philosophies and traditions of men. And may we stay on the correct path in our service to you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, maybe you're here and God's speaking to you about your need for salvation. Maybe your need is to understand the true way to heaven, the true way to be forgiven. Some people think you just got to do good works. If your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, if you go to church, if you keep the golden rule, my friend, none of those things can ever save you. Only Jesus saves. Maybe this morning there's someone that would say, "Pastor, I need to make sure I'm saved. Holy Spirit is convicting me. Would you pray for me?" Could you slip your hand up? We'll pray for you. You say, "Pastor, I need to be saved." I wonder how many would say, "Pastor, I'm praying that God gives me and my family discernment. I want to try the spirits. By God's grace, I want to be vigilant in my home and over my spiritual life, what I allow to enter in, to influence. God's spoken to me." Could you raise your hand if that's you? I thank the Lord. I'm going to ask our pianist to play softly. Let's have a moment of prayer. Let's tell it to Jesus. We need to put up some boundaries. Draw some lines in the sand, perhaps. Develop some convictions. Most importantly, depend upon the Holy Spirit.